This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WANM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2. I'm your host, the face of the franchise, West 10904, Duval in the building. And we got some great stuff for you today. We got some FAMU baseball, some FAMU softball. We got some NFL offseason news. We got a whole bunch of stuff. We got college basketball, of course. March Madness is in full swing, and some NBA stuff after that. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
What's up, y'all? It's Flo What's Fine. It's Kaji Latiker, repping the Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
Yo, what's up? It's your man, JB the King. We back here with the Playmakers.
Yo, what's up, guys? It's your boy, Jamal. Hey, it's my first episode on the pod today.
Yes, sir. Yes,
let's
sir.
Go. First episode.
How are you guys doing? It's Joshua Bounds representing the 850.
So, FAMU's basketball season is over. FAMU's football season has been over. Those are our favorite sports. We got close relationships with those coaching staffs, with those players. But sports isn't over here at FAMU. We're going into baseball, softball season there in full swing. Fellas, for baseball, we're doing pretty good. We're 7-2 in the SWAC. That puts us in third. How do we feel about our baseball team so far?
Hey, holistically, I feel amazing with our baseball team. I've been out to a couple of games. For those of you guys who think that baseball is a boring sport, I will admit it might not be the most interesting sport on TV. It's more so of an in-person sport. So you have to go to the events. And being able to go to a couple of the games, I really like what I've seen from the team. They are very strategic with how they attack. Like, the outfield plays well. Our pitcher, Caleb Granger, he's been having himself a wonderful season. We have talented players all around. And honestly, they're able to keep this momentum going. They'll be able to make it far again this year.
Shout out to baseball, man.
And then we got the women's, the softball team. They're doing absolutely amazing. They're number one in the SWAC East at a 10-2 record. That'd be second overall in the SWAC, just behind Prairie View. They're doing great. You know, they just, I think they just swept Bethune in there.
Yeah, they did just sweep Bethune. Mm-hmm. And just going into their record, they, again, their only two losses are their, I believe it was two losses on of a doubleheader. One was in Jackson against Jackson State, and the other was in Montgomery against Alabama State. So really, they're still winning every series despite those two individual losses. But besides that, Coach Bill is doing a great job. She's put together a great roster that has been consistent throughout the years. And even then, we have people such as Kaylee Spooner, who is batting for 462 in conference, which is amazing, you know, when you're taking into account baseball and softball stats. But again, just a big shout out to Coach Bill. Again, she's put together a great team, and I don't see anybody stopping our softball team except for Prairie View, who's not on our schedule, so we would only meet them in the SWAC championship.
And you know, we were let down a little bit by basketball. We were supposed to be SWAC champions, so I'm really hoping softball or baseball can take us into the promised land, take us to a SWAC championship, can take us deep into a playoff run. But moving over into the NFL, I know it's not the NFL season, it's the offseason, but it's my favorite sport. I love to talk about it. And there's been a little bit of controversy recently. Recently, there's been media narrative. Well, actually, we got some people in here. We got some Playmakers that are on multiple shows. I know you guys Absolutely. Talked about it on the yes. live show. I have to tap in. They don't put me on the show anymore. I don't know why, but...
Sound a little bitter there.
Nah. It's cool. I got my own thing going on, you know. But they talked about it on the live show. We're going to talk about it here because I want to get my take off. Ty Simpson has recently been compared to consensus number one overall pick, Fernando Mendoza. It hasn't happened yet, but it's pretty much certain, as you know, in the media that Fernando will go number one. But it's been said that Ty Simpson is better. And most people staunchly disagree with that take. But do you guys even consider Ty Simpson a first round pick?
No.
In terms of his talent, no. But in terms of like where this QB class is, I think he is QB2.
I mean, just like you said though, JB, due to this QB class, he could definitely be like a late first round pick. But the problem is the fact that you have folks saying that he should be drafted over Mendoza at the number one spot is honestly not the greatest decision. And the reason being, right, as sport fans, I think everyone should be well aware with Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells was one of the best head coaches at college level, and he came up with a system for how you're supposed to draft a quarterback. And one of his biggest points to drafting a quarterback out of college is that they have to have started at least 3 years, and within these starts they needed to have at least 23 wins, and they needed a certain number of touchdowns to interceptions ratio, which was 2-1. The problem with Ty Simpson, right, for those of you who are brand new to him, when he played in the Saban era near the tail end, but he didn't start because Bryce Young started. Then the following season, when Bryce Young went to the NFL, it was between him and Milroe. Nitwer won the starting job, and he finally got his first official start last season. He did his thing with his stats. I'll give him that. He passed for over 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns. I think it was 28 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, so they're not bad stats, but this is his first year as a starter. And to put him, and to have him being drafted first overall over Fernando Mendoza, that's a little bit of a reach if you ask me.
I think it's a lot. I think it's a lot of a reach.
Yeah, a lot of reach.
And again, you know, Josh, like Josh mentioned, he has some good stats, but I think that's also, you know, a product of being a quarterback at Alabama. You know, you're gonna have 4 and 5 stars all around you, and that's not to discredit Ty Simpson, because again, he's done good with what he's had. But I look at that second half of the season, especially starting at the Iron Bowl, that stretch from the Iron Bowl all the way to the Indiana game, that was just not an impressive I didn't see an impressive performance from Ty Simpson. And those are really some of the games that you have to look at. You know, nobody cares if you're putting up stats on Eastern Tennessee State, or you're putting up stats on Arkansas and South Carolina. You know, people want to see what happens in the important games. The Iron Bowl, you know, again, is a very important game, and the entirety of Alabama didn't look impressive, but he didn't look impressive in the Iron Bowl. We saw the SEC championship. Georgia was shutting Alabama down. And then we look at, I mean, Oklahoma, the first half of Oklahoma, that game was horrible for Alabama in that first half. And then we all know what happened with Indiana.
Well, let me pose the devil's advocate perspective. Let me give you what was said. He ran a more complicated offense than Fernando Mendoza. He ran a full big boy NFL offense, and he ran it to an extent. You know, he tapered off at the end of the season, but for a while he was one of the top quarterbacks in the nation. He was producing at a very high rate, and he processed very quickly, and he was very efficient for a lot of games in the beginning and the middle of the season. So that's what do you say to people who say, like, Fernando operated in a kind of a baby college offense, and then Ty Simpson is more NFL ready because he had a more complicated and NFL offense?
Nah, I'm not going for that. I
mean, you don't like it? You don't think the transition will be easier because of his experience working that type of offense?
I mean, Mendoza had Heisman moments. We look at the national championship game. Go back to the Penn State game, and he had moments. We were like, okay, this guy is showing, even though he might not be the most perfect number one overall pick or the most exciting prospect we've had, but people can look to those moments and be like, okay, I can see the potential with him. Ty Simpson didn't play horrible, per se. He's good, yeah. But like, what else? What's special about him?
But you know what? The other thing that we have to remember, right? Again, the fact that they're saying that he could potentially be a number one overall pick. The first pick is going to Las Vegas. And the better question is, Ty Simpson actually survive if he were to go to Las Vegas? I don't think he would survive. I think he would crumble underneath the pressure. Now, I'm not saying that Fernando Mendoza first year is just going to turn things around, but I think that due to the type of gritty player that Fernando Mendoza is, and like we said, we saw it all over last season, I think he would perfectly fit with the type of quarterback that Las Vegas is looking for. Ty Simpson would be more so a better quarterback for like a more established team, if you will. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I'm not even entertaining first overall pick. Like, Mendoza is going one. I think the real question is, will Ty Simpson go first round? I do think there's some teams that could reach, like maybe the Steelers go out there and take Ty Simpson late in the first. But in terms of Ty Simpson as a player, I feel like he has potential, but I don't see it. Mm-hmm. I don't see it where he's going to lead a franchise. I don't see where he's not like a backup in this league. And it's no hate to him. There's a lot of pride in being a backup in the NFL. But in terms of this, and I feel like we do this every draft season towards, you know, mm-hmm. we start getting bored. It's been a couple months without some football. Like, we just start narratives, and Ty Simpson is the guy who's going to rise up the boards. But I hope that teams really look at the tape and watch it. And we already know this isn't one of the better QB classes at all. So I hope teams don't reach on him. I hope Ty Simpson does go to a good place where maybe he can stay behind a veteran or something like that, and maybe he'll get an opportunity later in his career.
You don't even think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL? Like, you don't
right
think
now?
He could? Yeah, you don't think he could start on any team?
If he's a week one starter, no, I don't.
I do agree that there aren't many openings right now, because all the you know, openings that were kind of filled in the offseason by free agency.
This reminded me of like the 2022 class. That's the class with Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis and
bro,
Desmond Ridder.
Look what I have pulled up. Literally, bro. Malik Willis, Matt Corral, Bailey Zappi. Like,
Brock Purdy was in that draft, but he was literally Mr. Irrelevant. I don't think people were expecting Brock Purdy to, you know, really be as good as he is now. But yeah, this is what the class is reminding me of. Now, Mendoza is miles ahead of everybody who was drafted in that. Everybody, all the top quarterbacks who were drafted in that 2022 class, I think Mendoza is miles ahead of them. But this is what, these are the vibes that I'm getting. It's like, again, like we said, we're getting bored. We're like, okay, Ty Simpson, well, maybe he could go first round. Maybe he could go top 15. And it's like, you don't always have to just draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback.
Jamal, what do you think?
I feel like Ty is, there's nothing that really jumps out over, like, him over Fernando Mendoza. I mean, if we're talking about a team that could, like, sign, like, pick him up, though, like, in a draft, I would say, like, Arizona would be that wild.
Okay. Hmm. That's I would be a good landing spot for him in particular because.
What do you say?
Arizona.
What, at pick three?
He said just to their team. I don't think he's
getting. Yeah. Not at pick three.
Not at pick three, but just to get him onto their team. Okay. And I think, you know, the whole argument is like what I was alluding to earlier, like the processing speed, his mechanics. It's all like, it's very quarterback scouty terminology. It's not very result driven. It's all like, oh, well, if you watch the tape and you see that his feet are better than Mendoza's and he gets the ball out 1.5 seconds faster, and that's a lot of time if you're a that's not a real number, but like if it's something you see, if you want to play money ball about it, like if you want to do the nitty-gritty numbers work and you see Ty Simpson will fit into your offense, I think that's a guy you do take later. That's a guy you stick in your back pocket in third round. You're like, it's time to take, you know, Ty Simpson, and this is going to build our offense. But yeah, I do agree with you guys that it was Dan Orlovsky. Everyone knows who it was. I didn't say his name, but Dan Orlovsky said it. And I think the playmakers disagree with you, Dan, if you want to come on and talk to us about
it. You think? I know. Look, I don't want to. Look, Dan Orlovsky, love you, but at the same time, let's not forget what you did with my Detroit Lions, stepping out the back of the end zone now, big dog.
Listen, let's not talk about it because, you know, he has an open invitation to come on the show. If you want to talk to us about it, you know, we'll debate you on that. Mm-hmm. But here's our new segment, Reload or Rebuild. This is where we're taking people in the draft. We're drafting the first round and seeing what we would do in this GM spot. We're going to start with number 16 today because that's what we're on. Mm-hmm. The New York Jets got this pick from Indiana in the Sauce Gardner trade. Who you guys taking? It is their second first-round pick.
First, at two, I had them taking Arvell Reese.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will go edge rusher there, even if it's not him. If there's a wide receiver on the board, I know that they would love that. I don't think...
Yeah, I was thinking...
I don't think I had Jordan Tyson selected yet.
Most mocks, I see Mekhi Lemon is still on the board.
I know I have Lemon gone. So I'm going to go Jordan Tyson. If I already picked him, then maybe KC Concepcion.
Yeah, Concepcion.
Yeah.
I would go Mekhi Lemon like the mock draft say. I think the Jets are a good place for him to go because, again, he has – no, that's Jordan Tyson with injury concerns. But either way, Mekhi Lemon, he's a guy who can – he doesn't have to be your number one. So it's not like the Jets are drafting him. I mean, this is the second first-round pick that they have. It's not like they're drafting him to be their – franchise altering receiver. He's going to be another piece to the puzzle, and they already have Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
So again, they're not drafting him to be their Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase. He's going to be the complimentary piece, and I think having him as your complimentary piece is as good as a pick as you can get.
Yeah, next to Garrett Wilson, I think that's a match made in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Mekhi Lemon's size very much comp to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And they both went to USC.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a baller, man. I think Mekhi Lemon has wide receiver one potential. The Jets definitely do need some more superstar players. I think, unfortunately, they won't be able to get their quarterback.
They just need talent in general.
They just said, their coach said Geno Smith is the bona fide starter for the year.
That's great for them.
Believing in that Seattle season.
I mean, who's the alternative?
I mean, Geno Smith is a starter in the NFL. We'll talk about that in a second. Josh, who's your pick?
You know, I have like two potential things here, right? For the Jets, I do agree with what Q and what JB were saying, how you can go wide receiver here. Honestly, go with either Mekhi Lemon or, honestly, Denzel Boston from Washington.
Interesting. Okay.
Defensively, I could also see them going maybe after a defensive player. So here, I think this is where I would like to see Keldrick Faulk go as an edge rusher.
But on most people's board, they already took an edge rusher. So would you go double edge rusher? That's not unheard of. But double edge rusher too? Like not even double defense, but double edge rusher.
You know, honestly, now that you guys do say that, honestly, I think it would just be best to just stick with a wide receiver then probably.
I don't know.
I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I honestly wouldn't be mad at a double edge rusher because, again, you know, that's a premium position in the league, and they no longer have Jermaine Johnson either. So, you know, and again, it's the Jets. I'm not trying to, you know, trash on them too much, but the Jets just need whatever talent they can get. And so I don't think they really need to complain about what talent they do get. I'll give you one thing. If it's like, okay, we're taking – two safeties in the first round, or you know, we're taking two running backs in the first round. Mm-hmm. That's different because you have to look at the positional value. But edge rusher is, you know, a great edge rusher is not something you're gonna find, you know, a thousand times. That's something like if you had the opportunity to get a great edge rusher, you take that opportunity.
Jamal, who's your pick?
I mean, I'd go with a receiver. So Jordan Tyson from Arizona State. I mean, they need anything they can get, to be honest. But like for a receiver, that's a pretty big pickup right there.
Mm-hmm. I think, I'm not gonna stay on it too long. But Jordan Tyson, bro, I'm gonna go ahead. He's wide receiver one. Like in terms of talent, I think he has all the tools in the world. If he can stay healthy, and if he ends up falling to like a 16, 17, would be the steal of the draft. Like absolutely.
But also with that, you know, you have to think about some of those teams in the 20s going to trade up for him. And if he gets to one of the playoff teams, that can get real.
That could be dangerous, bro.
Or even the Chiefs. The Chiefs got a first round pick from the Rams now. So maybe the Chiefs are thinking, okay, we don't need to draft.
They don't need a cornerback anymore, do they? Or no, yeah, they do need.
They
do need.
They do need. Yeah, they do need one.
But maybe the Chiefs are like, okay, maybe we'll go and get, you know, one somebody with our first pick, you know, our top 10 pick, and then. If one of these receivers falls, maybe if Jordan Tyson falls to the teens, like 16, the Chiefs are sitting at
29.
They could package something together to jump up, or they could trade back from 9, and you know the GMs can work out the logistics. But I'd be a little wary of some of these playoff teams trading back up to go get them.
I would love to see a defensive player go right here, but not an edge rusher because we saw that they went a whole year without a pick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they just need talent on the whole back end of that defense. But, you know, as far as most mocks go, like the top end secondary people will probably be gone by here. So I do think it's safe to go to receiver. Going to the next pick, Lions at 17. Who do we got?
Go ahead, start it, Lions fan.
All right, bet. You know what? This here is where we got to be smart. We need an old lineman to help out that offensive line. So to kick things off, this is where I would love to see Spencer Fanoh get drafted to.
Okay. Most people have Spencer Fanoh off the board by now.
I know a lot of people have him get off the board, but
you have him dropping, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because apparently I'm looking at the mock draft. Mock drafts have us picking up Spencer Fanoh. I mean, I'm not mad at that. Like, there's a good amount of offensive tackles in this draft, and honestly, if we can get either Fanoh or even Caleb Lemieux, I'm happy with either one.
I like him
one.
A lot more. Yeah,
and I'm seeing Caden Proctor on the mock drafts as well. I think that would be a good pick. You know, he wasn't he was hyped up to be at Alabama, but you know the athleticism is there, the potential is there, and the Lions know how to develop offensive linemen.
Indeed.
So if they can look at the tools of Caden Proctor and be able to develop him into something nice, I think that's something they can work with.
You guys know me. I don't love to draft O linemen if they're not like pretty
superstar.
Yeah, unless you're like gonna be a slam dunk in the league. I don't love to draft O linemen, but you know, it's kind of one of the only needs for the Lions, and outside of that, and like another corner.
Lions just need to stay healthy.
They always falling apart at the end, in the back end of the year. So maybe look into like a training staff.
I mean, don't worry. Look, we're gonna get things together, but like it's just like we talked about. Mainly, we need an old lineman, second round vote. That's where I like to see in the later rounds where we go and get those steals in the secondary, because we desperately need to fortify our secondary. Once we get that going, we can make it far. And, of course, just staying healthy in general. So
yeah, I would love like a Avion Terrell here, maybe. That might be a little bit of reach, but I heard he got hurt during his pro day, I think.
Well,
yesterday.
He was already injured. I guess they're saying that he re-aggravated the hamstring injury.
Oh, he did?
So.
No.
Yeah, I got to stay away from that. Never mind.
I don't know.
Yeah, O-line probably the move here. I'm scared of offensive tackles from Alabama because Jedrick Wills ruined my life.
But Jedrick Wills, I mean, he started off good.
He was
though.
Good the first, like, year and a half, and then, you know. But, yeah, I think Lions O-line.
Jamal, who you got?
I mean, I was going to go with, you know, Caden Proctor, but, you know, I want to change it up so I don't, you know, fall off anybody. Let's go with Blake Miller from Clemson.
Okay, I've seen that in a mock draft.
Okay.
We're moving on to the Vikings pick at 18. Who do they need?
I think it's the safety from Oregon. Dylan, excuse me if I mispronounce it.
I don't know.
Dineman.
Yeah.
Dineman, that's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listen, this
and
pick,
like he, I don't know him and a Brian Flores defense. That's gonna be ridiculous. And you know he's a very athletic safety, and I think Brian Flores could definitely use that.
The Vikings are weird because they have you know a good defense, mm-hmm. and they have mm-hmm. obviously weapons. The running back room is
who's
Aaron Jones still
back?
There?
No, Aaron Jones
he's gone. Right,
Jones is gone.
Yeah, so I don't know who's gonna be running back. The ball, but. Who's what running back's going at 18?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So and then I mean safety help is always nice because what's his name just retired?
Harrison Smith.
What a dog. But yeah, he was getting old. He was getting up there. They got to replace him. So I think that's a good pick.
Yeah. I think that might be consensus.
I mean, honestly, I agree with the pick from Q, but I could also see you guys are talking about maybe a running back. The next two running backs behind Jeremiah Love, because Jeremiah Love is the number one pick according to ESPN, running back wise. The next two people in line are his running mate, Jadeveon Price, also from Notre Dame, and then Mike Washington Jr. So honestly, I could see
both
one of those two.
Both would be a reach, bro.
That's a reach for the first round.
Yeah, it is, I think Jeremiah Love is just that far ahead of everybody.
Okay.
Everybody else.
Jamal.
I'm going to go with what you said. What's his name? Thiemann?
Thiemann.
Something like that.
Again, excuse me if I'm mispronouncing it.
Sorry, bro. We don't know how to say your name. Sorry. Like,
but if you went go out and win Defensive Rookie of the Year, we will know your name.
Yeah, let's get it. we're going to listen to a couple broadcasts and we'll figure it out. But that wraps up that segment. Now we're going to talk about NCAA basketball. We're going to be talking about March Madness.
Yes.
I don't know why you're so excited, Josh. You were also wrong.
Okay.
Nah,
look.
I mean, if Duke loses,
wrong,
America
bro.
Wins.
It's okay.
let's segue first.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a few things I want to talk about first, but I'm glad you brought up Duke because that's what we need to talk about. Mm-hmm. Every year, Duke is considered the favorite to win the championship because it's Duke. You know, they're the illustrious program. They have all these rings. They have all this championship. They have all these history. And now it's been a decade since they've won. 2015. And just to remind you of that squad, mm-hmm. just in the talent that was on it, Jahlil Okafor, Quinn mm-hmm. Cook, Justice Winslow, Tyus Jones, Grayson Allen, there's a bunch. Marshall Plumlee also made it to the NBA. Mm-hmm. There's this whole roster made it to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a while since they've done anything. They haven't even made the championship game since.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had other talented rosters, like let's just say 2018-19, RJ Barrett, Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, Trey Jones.
Yep.
Like all that's another.
Or last year, Cooper Flagg and
Cooper Flagg and Cocky Nibble. They're fighting for rookie of the year right now. Mm-hmm. So what is it that's keeping Duke from getting over the hump? I mean, they've had Coach K for this. He's been gone a few years now, but he was there for a while. And is it the NIL? Is it the talent spreading out? Is the other programs getting hot? Like,
it's
March Madness, bro.
Yeah, it's
it's just March Madness, but Duke's always been on top of the Magic. They've always been able to control that Madness.
I think it's one of those things. It's hard to win in March Madness. I think what UConn is doing is honestly one of the most impressive things I've seen.
Really,
to be able to win this many championships in a short period of time because, again, this is single elimination. This year's Duke, we almost saw them lose to Siena. And, you know, we can talk about how Siena was underseed or whatever. You're the one seed. You're the number one overall seed. You're supposed to take care of business. But it's hard to win in March Madness. It's hard to win all those games in a row, especially when everyone is giving their best effort. And I think Duke situation is just a matter of wrong place, wrong time. And sometimes it's just them collapsing. Like this year, they collapsed. They let up a 19-point lead. Last year against Houston, they literally had the game won, and they just let Houston come back and win. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, like, you have it there, it's right there, and it just falls apart.
Yeah, they haven't even been to the Final Four.
They haven't been to the Final Four?
Well, they made it last year.
I was about to say, I thought they got there last year, but it's been rough for Duke. And the last time they haven't won a championship in a decade was like back in the 80s when they weren't even like a powerhouse yet. Like it's been forever that they haven't won.
I just think it's interesting because it's like, you know, I think it's because of the standard we hold Duke to. You know, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, this is the standard that we hold those schools to, because you ask a majority of other schools, If they could go out like Duke, you know, Duke hasn't won a championship in 10 years, but to say you can go to all these Elite Eights and a Final Four, so many teams would sign up for those results.
But Duke wouldn't. This is Duke's in shambles. Like, Duke fans, shout out, you know, Jeffrey Hood Jr. Mm-hmm. I know you still listen, bro. Your team can't get over the hump, man.
Hey, but
like,
I was at elementary school last time y'all won.
That last possession was crazy, though. Like,
that was nuts.
Yeah, they just sold the game off, bro. That. Like, that's exactly how they lost. Well, they blew a lead, too, but that's exactly how they lost the game. Yeah,
bro, last 2 minutes, Duke was like, oh, we won, and they took their foot off the gas. They're like, we're up.
That second half was horrible.
You know,
they allowed 44, only scored 28
They
points.
Were still up, like, 8, though, with a few minutes left.
But, Wes, the biggest thing, though, kind of sort of goes to what Q was saying. Just to add on to what you're saying, though, Q, I think one of the other things that Duke suffers from, well, not really suffers from, it's just that they have a very young team. They always seem to have a bunch of freshmen, and nothing against them. They are some of the best freshmen. They gel well together. They ball out. They make it far in the tournament. But because they're freshmen, sometimes they are prone to make a couple of rookie mistakes.
I think that's an amazing point. And I think that also goes to what Kentucky's issues have been as well. You know, we get on Coach Cal, and again, Coach Cal is a great coach. He knows how to get his players to the NBA, but it's also one of those things, like, Coach Cal can have a million five stars, but all those five stars are freshmen. Who's going to be the veteran leader? We go back to the teams that have won national championships. Florida, Walter Clayton, Elijah Martin, those are veterans. They weren't with Florida for all those years, but they were third and fourth year players. The year before that, UConn. When UConn went back, UConn built those teams. Like Dan Hurley built those UConn teams. Mm-hmm. And so even the Villanova squads that were the Villanova, Virginia, all those past champions are teams who have built up guys of third and fourth year players. Even Kansas, you know how I love Kansas. That Kansas team was made up of veterans. It wasn't a bunch of the best freshmen thrown together on a team.
Yeah. And then another thing, though, like you said, with freshman comes a little bit of rookie mistakes. Mm-hmm. And especially when it comes to March Madness, those rookie mistakes get amplified, especially when you're going up against a UConn squad that is very experienced. Like we said, they have a 19-point lead going to the second half. It felt like they were just celebrating too early and they let their foot off the gas. UConn was able to go on runs and they just couldn't stop Taurus Reed Jr. Taurus Reed Jr. is a senior. You have, what was old boy's name? Caravan.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Caravan, another.
A while.
Yeah, a super senior. He's, if I remember correctly, he's now the sixth highest scorer at UConn now. So you have a lot of experienced guys who are talking to the younger guys on the team saying, hey, let's not give up hope. We are still in this. And that's what you saw. You saw UConn fighting back. Duke wasn't able to hold the run. And like we said, in those final 2 minutes, it was just that UConn's experience just got the better of Duke. And then we saw Caden, the reason why he just
did y'all see
not
his press conference,
it.
Bro?
Yeah.
I felt bad for him.
I didn't even see the press conference. What happened?
He was holding back tears, but that brother was
he said, I lost us the season. Like,
he was like, this the last time I'm gonna play with my brother. Like,
it was tough hearing him say he put it on himself too, bro. That was wild.
But it's not his fault, that's a team.
As a team, bro, they let them get back into that game too.
Yeah, but now you made that pass as game.
Yeah, no, because what's crazy is he said, I swear, check me. You could correct me if I'm wrong. He said after the game, he was like, I was trying to get it to a better free throw shooter.
But one, I mean,
he was perfect from the line.
Yeah, I was going to say you got to have some confidence in you.
He was perfect from the line at that point. Only missed one shot the whole game.
There was only a few seconds left. Yeah. He didn't even need to get rid of the ball. Like, even if they get that penalty,
just hold the ball.
They could have fouled him. He could have missed both free throws. I think they would have been better off having a full court shot happen compared to a
logo.
And why didn't bro put his hands up on defense?
Hey, let's be for real, bro.
It's not a great shot, man. He shoot from almost half court, and he was waiting for him to step up, and he just pulled it, man. It's not crazy.
Isaiah Evans, bro, feeling like Paul George right now. That's a bad shot, bro. What am I supposed to do? No, that's crazy.
Yeah, Isaiah Evans should have put his hands up.
Someone please bring up his Instagram handle. It's something like hand up or something like that.
I saw a tweet that was just like, I forgot the tweet. Hold on.
But hey, for real though, shout out to that boy Braylon Mullins though. Like we always said, it's always gonna be in March Madness the one white boy who says he's not ready to go home yet.
My bad. Okay, so Isaiah Evans' Instagram handle is get a hand up.
Ironic.
He did not get a hand up at all.
Oh my God. I mean, listen, that was the best game in the Elite Eight, if we're being honest. What else? I mean, everyone else kind of got beat down.
Belted.
Yeah. Man, they.
I do want to, just a little gloat here. I did pick Illinois to go to the Final Four in my bracket.
I think I did too. Congratulations for you guys, man.
I got to check out my bracket. I'm not going to lie. I haven't looked at it in a minute. It's been
long. My champion is still here. Shout out Arizona, bro.
Arizona, my champion, too.
Actually,
they're the only team I got still in it, bro.
Shoot.
I think so, too. I know I had Illinois going far.
They're 96%. They lying.
Michigan.
I did have Illinois making the
I'm so excited for that game. Mm-hmm. Michigan-Arizona finna be a movie, bro.
Honestly, Michigan-Arizona will be a movie.
I think it's very likely that the winner of that game will take it all. Unless UConn can pull off
I can never doubt UConn.
All the years
that UConn has won, you didn't think they were gonna, except for that. I mean, the year they went back to back, it's like, okay, they were the best team. Mm-hmm. But like the first year they won with Dan Hurley, they were a 4 seed, and then the years like with Shabazz Napier, they were like an 8 seed, and then Kemba Walker doing his thing. UConn wins when you don't expect UConn to win.
Yeah, you can never count out UConn with Dan Hurley at the helm.
Can we do game predictions for that?
Absolutely, sure, man. Who do you got? UConn, Illinois.
UConn.
Give us a score.
Give me UConn 79, Illinois 74.
Interesting.
Illinois is actually predicted to win.
They've also already played this season. It was on November 28th. UConn won 74-61. I don't know if that was a neutral site game, but UConn was technically the home team.
I really like the way Illinois has been playing. I mean, obviously they're here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when it just comes to experience.
Oh, it was Madison Square Garden. That's basically a home game for UConn. So earlier in the season, UConn won by 13.
I don't know. I like the game. Like, I like the team that went through fire, and then like Illinois just kind of beat on Iowa. I'm gonna pick UConn.
I'm gonna pick UConn. I think everybody pick UConn or.
Yeah. I'm picking Illinois.
You're picking Illinois?
Yeah, I'm picking Illinois.
Okay.
Well, we got to see if
the game's in Indianapolis, so you know Illinois doesn't have to go far.
Arizona, Michigan.
I got to stick with Arizona.
I got to stick with Arizona too, but Michigan has made it further than I thought.
Look, Michigan is hot, man.
Let me tell you something.
Another boy, Yaxel.
Look, if Arizona is able to lock down Yaxel Lindenborg, which I think will happen, I got Arizona. If Yaxel pops off though, it's going to be Michigan. But in this case, like I said, I'm sticking with Arizona. I think Cole Pete is going to do his thing.
Yeah, I think Arizona has the infrastructure to stop Yaxel. And Ademar, like he's been hooping as well, but Arizona has the size to match up with Michigan. And again, we've been looking at Michigan's guards being the weak point this whole season. And Arizona, they had the Big 12 Player of the Year, Jaden Bradley. You know, I just feel like Arizona at this current moment is the better team, and they've been locked in all of March. Really, the entire year they've been locked in.
Yeah, they trailed for the first time against Purdue. Like that was crazy.
Yeah.
And they still
that was like in the first half. Like it was, the game had just started when they trailed for the first time this whole tournament. That was nuts.
Jamal, what do you think?
I got Arizona.
Okay.
I got it being close, though, because, I mean, it's not like they're not finna just walk past Michigan.
Indeed. I won't lie, though. Reason why I am going with Arizona. Now, to piggyback off what you're saying, Q, they definitely have the size to match up against Michigan. But the reason why I am kind of sort of a little bit of a hate watch, not because I'm a Michigan State fan, but mainly because they're saying that they're the best team and that they're better than the Fab Five. I'm sorry, I can't agree to that, man. The Fab Five, although I didn't watch them for real, I watched highlights. My pops, though, got He actually got a chance to see the Fab Five because he was at Michigan State during the time. So
maybe, we're done with the 90s, Josh. Maybe we're done with the
90s. No, don't do that. Fab.
Hold on now.
Maybe we're done with the 90s, Josh. Maybe they are better.
No, don't do that.
We're done with the 90s. Do you think this game can translate right now, Josh? I do too.
Does current Michigan have more NBA players than the Fab Five?
No, it does not.
They don't.
What I really want is a high scoring game. I just want to see a lot of. I want to see a lot of offense. I want to see a cool shootout type of game. If it could be in the 90s, I'd love it.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game, but I think it's going to be a defensive battle.
I don't want to watch that though.
That's high stakes basketball.
Yeah, but then the first half is boring.
When you got to work for every.
Yeah, I want to see elbows.
When you got to work for every point,
there can be elbows and blood with buckets.
That's Final Four basket. That's what we're going to see in the NBA when it gets to that second round and conference finals. Those games are going to stop being 120-118. It's gonna be 100-97.
Yeah, well, I just want to see the ball go in the hoop a little bit. Is all I'm saying. But that's gonna take us over to the NBA, guys. And there's been a lot of news going on in the NBA. It's not exactly to do with the plan going on right now, but with expansion. Expansion has been talked about for a long time. The NBA is always making money, always wanting to make more money. And they want to expand again. They want to expand to 32 teams. They're targeting the 28-29 season. The cities would be Seattle and Las Vegas. First of all, do you think expansion is a good idea?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Seattle's been needing that team back for a minute. And NBA's clearly been trying to push to Las Vegas, having the summer league over there, doing all the events they do, trying to get more money. Adam Silver, everything he does is to get more money.
I just don't know. I feel like Vegas is just not a good city for sports.
What do you mean? The Aces are going crazy right now.
The Aces are good, but it's like the Aces would be good regardless if they were in Las Vegas.
I guess, but like,
I feel like that Vegas team needs to go somewhere where they would actually appreciate the team that they have.
I think they'll appreciate it. They've been building up for years now.
Hey, but Q, I just got a quick question for you then.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not rocking with Las Vegas, where would you have in mind? Like, do you have like a place or two?
I would say, now, again, I don't like the state of Missouri at all, but I feel like Kansas City or St. Louis would deserve a team.
I mean, Kansas City's had a team before.
Mm-hmm. Both Kansas City and, well, St. Louis had an ABA team, but Kansas City used to have the now Sacramento Kings. But I feel like those are two cities that have been waiting to host a basketball team. Kansas City is where the Big 12 tournament has been for the past however many years.
Maybe it's just college basketball country. Maybe like, because some places are like, you know, we rock with college here. We don't do the pros. I guess that was back before NIL, though. That was more like, we like it for, you know, amateur, for the sport of the game and all that good stuff. But so does anybody else would have a city they would prefer than, like, Las Vegas or Seattle?
Like
people have been talking about Vancouver. People have been talking.
Nah,
that's too close to Seattle.
Okay.
Having Vancouver, Seattle, and Portland, those are all way too close to each other to be having three.
Listen, I was cool with Las Vegas because I guess it is probably a money thing. But, like, it's also, like, it'd be a great experience. I feel like a Las Vegas arena would be one of the craziest arenas, and then there'd be a great vibe going on.
One of the Western Conference teams has to move to the East now.
Hopefully Memphis finally gets over here.
Or even Minnesota. You know, Minnesota is up there with Chicago and Milwaukee.
New Orleans?
New Orleans is pretty east.
Hey, we got a bunch of people to the West that need to be in the East.
Yeah, you know, they can move over here. So I think it's cool. Expansion and the anti-tanking has kind of been the big stories.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trying to get all that right before they bring in new teams.
How would the
expansion teams work in like?
So
in
you can protect. League? I believe they say you can protect eight people.
Yeah.
So yeah, from each team, and then you can only lose one person from your team.
Right.
So when one person gets picked, everybody else goes back to your team.
I was saying basically like what draft pick would these teams get? And you know, sort of that.
Well, I think they just get a separate draft to make their own team, and then they don't get a draft pick.
No, they still get a draft pick.
They still get in.
They probably still be in a lottery.
Maybe they get a lottery pick. I don't know.
You know, they're trying to flatten the odds from like.
And I know they won't go into effect this year, but it's like, so what if my team was sitting at number three and I wanted to get Boozer or DeBancer or Peterson, and then boom, here comes an expansion team that just bumps me out my spot. You know, I feel like that wouldn't be fair to the.
But I think they do the lottery all at the same time. Like they would put the expansion teams in the lottery as well, and they'd all just have the same odds. But again, that's not really. I don't know. The owners had to agree on it, so there's some borderline where they already are okay with this. But I'm interested to see it happen. Like, have we lived through an expansion?
No. We've rebranded, last team, but not expansion.
The last team was the Bobcats.
Yeah, but that just turned into the Hornets, and then No, I don't think we lived through one. Mm-hmm. Or if we did, it was real like young. But the second part to this question is, do you want the Seattle team to become the Supersonics?
Yes.
And do you want the Supersonics to take their history from the Thunder?
I don't know. Because we see this in the NFL. We see it with the Titans and the Texans. I don't know why the Texans want to claim the Oilers like that. That is the same franchise. They were even the Tennessee Oilers for a few years. And we see it with the Browns and the Ravens.
We don't see it with the Browns and the Ravens. We don't want none of that.
You don't want those AFL. Nah, you don't want those AFL championships.
We like real Super Bowls over here.
They literally stole our team, bro.
Our team now.
But it's one of those things that, like, you know, I'm torn because yes, Seattle. You know, if you're bringing back the Supersonics, you know, the Supersonics belong to Seattle. But Kevin Durant was a Seattle Supersonic. Mm-hmm. Even though Russell Westbrook never played for the Sonics, he was drafted as a Supersonic.
Sure was. Mm-hmm.
So there's overlap between these teams, and it's the same ownership, it's the same team, they just happen to move. Mm-hmm. And to say, oh yeah, Kevin Durant, you just took away Kevin Durant's rookie year to add it to this new expansion team.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then like Gary Payton would be the all-time leading scorer for the Supersonics and not the Thunder at all. And then, like, they take some points off of Kevin Durant, and he would still be second because Russell Westbrook's the first. But there's all sorts of – so would you – Josh, like, would you want the history to stay? Or would you want the history to go with the new team?
Honestly, the history has to stay with the Thunder just to not make things complicated. But, like
– but the Thunder is not the Supersonics.
That is true.
Right. I think it's one of those things. Shout out to Jay Glenn, Sports and Semantics. I think it's a semantics thing of like when the Thunder won the finals, it was the first championship for the state of Oklahoma. Oklahoma got to claim that because none of the Thunder fans were watching the Sonics before the Thunder came. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things. They get to claim, okay, we finally have a championship for Oklahoma. But it's still the same team. Record-wise, it's still the same team. Those same players. Again, like I've previously mentioned, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was a Seattle Supersonic, but he's also a legendary player for the Thunder. So it's not like, I don't know, I feel like you're just creating different history that like doesn't match up.
Well, I believe I read an article that the Supersonics would take the history from the Thunder. I believe that is what would happen if they were to create and stay the Supersonics. Because I believe they would take it. So I don't think it would bother me. I don't know if it would bother Thunder fans, but I mean, it only really affects Kevin Durant extensively.
And Jeff Green, I guess.
Yeah.
Shout out Jeff Green.
Gotta remember Jeff Green.
All right, but moving over to more current topics, because that's off in the future, going to be a few years from now. The Bucks have officially been eliminated from the playoffs. And there's always been talks of Giannis being traded since basically their last championship like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
that's 5 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, 2021. That was nice. We are getting old. But do we think he will be a Milwaukee Buck next season? Because he's still under contract through next season, and then he has an option after that. But he's pretty much everything but said he wants to trade. And now they've been eliminated. And he's been injured for like a little over a few weeks. But do we think he wants to remain a Buck?
I really don't care.
Like, Giannis being on another team is a massive deal. He's the MVP defensive player of the year.
Two years, bro.
Wow.
I think Giannis is one of those things where he wants to stay in Milwaukee. You know, if you know like who Giannis is or even like, there's a couple of books and movies about Giannis, and he just seems like the person who would want, like, the Bucks were the team that took that chance on him. They you know, got him out of poverty and took that chance on him and gave him, you know, the life he has now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he appreciates Milwaukee. He wants to stay in Milwaukee, but he wants to win, too. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things, like, he wants to see Milwaukee get better. It's just Milwaukee is not making the moves.
And you know, like, at this point, they need to do it, like, now, because the longer the wait, the less value Giannis has. Of course, Giannis is, like, consensus top five player in the league when he's healthy.
Yep.
However, he's getting old, and he's hurt. He's been hurt, like, every season, ever since the championship.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And you see young stars get moved all the time these days. And now you have these great draft classes like this year where it's just like, okay, yeah, we love Giannis, but We need to get it happening. Like, go ahead and do it now, bro. Let's stop the waiting. Let's stop the subliminal messages and comments. Y'all want to shut him down. He wants to play. He wants to compete. Y'all don't want to compete right now. Like, either Giannis needs to understand, hey, we are rebuilding. It's probably going to take us at least 2 years to be back in, like, somewhat talks. Or just go. Like, just request a trade. Pull a James Harden. Like, just leave, bro.
I get that, but it's also like those things. Like, it's a two-way street. Somebody has to trade for Giannis. And I think what's holding it up, too, is you have to give up so much to get him. Like, you look at the teams who could try to get him. Like, I know we talked about the Knicks. I feel like the Knicks have the talent to match up with Giannis. Maybe and like, the Heat have always been in talks for everybody. But, like, if you're the Miami Heat,
bro,
you're trading 83 points. You know, 83, you're giving up your 83 points, Bam Adebayo for Giannis.
You know,
that's 83.
The teams that really do it are them bottom feeder teams. It's just like, will we respect Giannis enough to trade him to a contender? But like, you look at a Nets. Like, Nets probably got a lot of draft capital, a lot of young players that just throw at the Bucks,
right,
or something like
that. But it's like, what's the purpose of that? You're wasting everybody's time at that point.
But there'll be a team that's interested in doing it, is what I'm saying. Like, you trade him to a contending team, you're not going to be able to get.
Because regardless of, okay, yes, the Nets have the picks, and then they trade Michael Porter Jr., they trade...
Who knows?
Man, this roster's not good.
It's not.
So you're already getting rid of your best player, and you're going to probably get rid of your best player and your third and fourth best player plus all your picks. So it's going to be what, Giannis and
who knows? But yeah, they would do it, is what I'm saying. Like,
I feel you.
I think you pick a middle top tier team, and then they have to make a little bit of a splash. They have to give up. They have to part with some of their system, and they can get there. Because like a 4 or 5 seed, like the Nuggets or Timberwolves, have talent to give, and they can give you draft capital.
Maybe so Orlando.
Like, Paolo Paolo has been kind of up and down.
He is up,
bro,
and down, but Franz has been hurt. Like, so they don't even know what to do with either
come
one.
Come on, bro. Would you rather have Giannis or Paolo, bro?
I don't think that. Would I rather have... Come on, bro.
You have Giannis, bro. Come on.
I don't think you're a championship team if you just trade Giannis for Paolo and a couple.
If it's straight up like that, if I'm Orlando, I'm taking it.
I mean, you got to build me a package, and like, they have to give up. I don't think Orlando's not that good right now, and the just adding Giannis would just take them from an eighth seed to a fifth seed.
Yes, it would.
Fifth seed, man.
It would take them to a championship contender. It's Giannis, bro.
It would take them to fourth or fifth in the West, bro. Or East.
I mean, you got to think. It's like.
Two?
Yes.
No.
It's like Paolo.
Two is crazy, bro.
It's Giannis, bro.
It is Giannis, but the team isn't that good right now.
It's like what? Paolo, like max level Paolo times three.
What I would think is like you give, you're the Nuggets, and you give out.
Nuggets.
You're the Nugget. Listen, the Nuggets. You send out a few picks. You send Aaron Gordon their way. You match up some contracts, maybe Christian Brown, like that type of deal. You get like some big role players.
Hey, I'm hanging up that phone.
But yeah,
Why would Milwaukee want Aaron Gordon?
They never got to mortgage their future. They got to send out. I'm thinking three first round picks,
but it's those guys. It's Nuggets first round picks.
Yeah, we're just giving them. We're preparing Giannis and Jokic.
I can't do that.
They're a minimum three seed every year.
Okay,
so those aren't going to be good.
Listen,
always got the Spurs in contention because they have picks. They have young players.
Like, I think the Spurs and the Thunder would be the teams you think about, but they're so good as is that they wouldn't.
I wouldn't risk.
You know
blowing
what?
Up my team.
Honestly.
What a Cavs, chat.
Just to let you guys know in advance, it's a homer pick. It's a homer pick. Honestly.
They don't need to.
Oh, no. Homer pick-wise.
I low-key don't mind it.
I think Minnesota.
Oh,
who's your team?
I thought you were about to say Detroit.
I know I'm a Pistons fan, but honestly, there's not much that we can really give for Giannis.
Yeah, I don't want Ron Holland, buddy.
But that's what I'm saying. Honestly, Minnesota could use this as their chance to get rid of Gobert. Saint Gobert and probably a draft pick.
But do you want, if I'm Milwaukee, do I want?
Because Minnesota not trying to give Gobert up Jaden McDaniels. I would need Jaden McDaniels. And Minnesota has said they're not doing that.
True, but I truly think that it's
if
time.
If it's Giannis, bro, you give him Jaden McDaniels.
No, they've literally come out and say they're not trading Jaden McDaniels in that trade.
The Heat also said they're not giving up Tyler Hero. But
we're not giving up Tyler Hero. Street clothes, bro. Street clothes.
Why did you have to bring up Tyler Hero?
Because that's the best example I can think of. Because it's been multiple trades that the Heat.
Because it wasn't for a big enough. I think they would have gave up Tyler Hero for Giannis.
Tyler Hero's a good player, but
he is.
Great but guy. Like, come on, like street clothes. Y'all were in Dame. Y'all were in Dame talks. Giannis talks.
Ja Morant talks.
Yeah, Ja Morant. Like, you don't want to give up Tyler Hero?
Well, I got a question for everyone then.
He definitely could have.
If not for Tyler Hero.
Hey, come Wes.
On. You're right, my fault.
Yeah, what's going on?
You know what, Wes?
What's up?
I don't think you've given your opinion yet. If do you think Giannis is staying or going? If he does go, what do you think he'll go to?
He's got to go. But the destination is so hard to pick out because, like they were saying, he's very expensive because, you know, you have to give up a lot to get him.
Maybe Houston.
What I'm thinking is they're losing leverage. The Bucks are losing leverage every day. So they got to sell because they're running because he's getting lower in value because he's getting older. He's injury prone. And you could just let the Bucks rot. Like, you could just let that be a terrible team for the next, because they got to keep paying him.
That'd be so sad for him. Like, he needs to get out.
Like, he needs to leave.
You know, we've been talking about this. It's going to be, like JB said, I feel like it low-key might be Utah that would do something that would actually pull off. But that would pull off the trade.
It's just like, well, the Bucks.
Seeing Giannis in anything but a Bucks uniform is going to be crazy.
Giannis, why would Giannis want to go to the Jazz, though? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, we might got to be like, bro, we love you. Like, you know what I'm saying? You are a GOAT, but we got to do what's best for us.
Exactly.
Because I'm not accepting Rudy Gobert forward.
And if the Jazz throw all their first-round picks.
But
and,
the Jazz also and did just trade a lot of first-round picks for Jaren Jackson.
Those weren't even their own picks.
Bucks need to realize that they suck. And they need to. They don't need to tank. They need to rebuild. And so, if you gotta, might have to take Rudy Gobert. Take people who are on expiring contracts, man.
Markkanen, Ace Bailey, and a bunch of picks. You wouldn't accept that if you were the Bucks.
Then they'd have Ryan Rollins, Kevin Porter, Laurie Markkanen, Ace Bailey,
and a
Miles
bunch,
Turner,
and Darren Peterson.
That's terrible, bro.
It's a rebuild. It's a rebuild. Yeah. You gotta see the future. So you gotta take on veterans with big contracts that will expire, and then you have to rebuild through the draft and the picks you got in the capital. Like, I think they need to realize that they need a reset. They can't do it anymore with Giannis because they're kind of.
They already reached the peak with Giannis. They got the ring.
Well, I don't think they even reached their peak with Giannis. I think they did. They missed the chance to be a dynasty.
They tried. I mean, Dame didn't. Nobody could have predicted Dame would have worked out, bro.
Right, but like even
and in the games, else, like, in the games with Dame, they were good. They won playoff games.
I mean, they let Chris Middleton like become terrible, and they let this, but like they didn't build around him the right way. They were like, oh, let's just try it again with Dame.
The Miles
Turner
decision was an awful decision as well.
And like, you need to. They didn't support him. They tried to get him another star, and that's a way to do it. I don't think it was the right way. But this takes us to our favorite part of the podcast. This takes us to shout outs. I want to shout out God. I want to shout out my family. I want to shout out the Playmakers, all of us doing our thing. That's it.
Shout out to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout out to my mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. Shout out to the entire state of Mississippi with the exception of Madison County. And, you know, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. Shout out to God, of course. Hope everybody, family, getting back home safe. I know a lot of people popped out. Family was overly deep. Shout out to everybody that went out and supported your friends, family, all that type of stuff. It was a fun weekend. Shout out to my family, of course. Shout out to my father. Shout out to my mama. And shout out to the Playmakers.
Shout out mom, dad, you know, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and my boys back at home.
First and foremost, got to give a shout out to God. Got to give a shout out to my family. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to Jamal, new playmaker in the building.
Yes, sir.
Glad to have you here, man. Thank you. And just shout out to you guys in general.
Oh, and also, it is 90.5 week.
It is 90.5 week.
Entire week.
Pop out, man.
Entire week of events starting
today,
Monday. Mm-hmm. Well, this is going to come today. Out. It's going to come out like Thursday.
Well, you know, maybe Trim will edit fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all pop out to the silent headphone party, man.
On the day you're listening to this podcast, there is an event tonight.
Listen, shout out to trolling Twitter accounts. One just got me, said that Kaden Boozer was expelled. that notification really got me. Like, I was shocked for like half a second. Click the link in our bio, 905 The Flavor, 905 The Flavor Sports. We would love to hear from you, giving some feedback for us. We'd love to hear from you what you think about our things, what you suggest, anything you can give us, some feedback, stuff like that. Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studio of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.